Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
There's a book written by Pastor Robert Morris from South Lake area up in Dallas. He pastors an incredible church, and he wrote a book called The Blessed Life like 20, 25 years ago. It's an incredible book. I encourage you to get it and read it. Those of you that read, read books. The principle of living a blessed life versus a broken life is something that's very important. And God wants you to live a blessed life. If you were to evaluate yourself right now, evaluate your life right now and say, my life, the blessing quotient of my life is what? Are you 100% blessed? Do you feel like parts of your life are blessed? Do you feel like parts of your life are struggling? I'm glad that you're here this weekend. I'm glad you can hear from the teachings of Jesus. Today we're going to be reading out of Luke, the 16th chapter. And these, if you have a red letter Bible, would be red letters, meaning that Jesus spoke these words and they are profound. They're going to help deliver some of you from what's called the spirit of mammon. Breaking the spirit of mammon. There's a spirit that is prevalent in our world today. It was very prevalent in Jesus' time as well. And he addresses it. And so it's my prayer, my hope today that people leave out of this experience today freed from this spirit. So the broken life, this is the first part of your notes there. The broken life is where you are constantly in charge and stressed. That's a broken life. The broken life is where you are in charge and you're stressed out about it. That's broken. The blessed life, on the other hand, is where you are confident that God is in control. Big difference, right? You either think that you're going to make it and you're going to be successful because it's up to you. And if it is to be, it's up to me. That's the broken system. That's the world system. Jesus offers a better way. Trust that he is in total control of your life. And that is the way we live blessed. Now, it's going to work its way out through different parts of ourselves. The way we spend our time, the way we spend our money, the way we relate to people. Our fear, our anger, our peace, our joy. I mean, all these different things come from this root situation of, do we trust that God is in control, or do we believe that we ourselves should be the authors of our own destiny? Now, if we were to interview everybody in here, many of you would say, no, I trust that God's in control. But then when we really do a deep dive into the way you live, there might be some signs, some symptoms that that's really not the case. So I'm so glad you came today. Let's dive into it. Luke 16, verse 9, Jesus says, here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. If you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, or you can't handle your bad manager of little things, you won't be honest in greater ones. So I've heard this so many times in 19 years. You know, I just don't have a whole lot, or I don't really know. You know, in fact, somebody told me this just a few weeks ago. You know, when I have more, I will manage it better. And Jesus just hits this straight in the face. Throat punches this idea, okay? Man, if I just had more, I would be better at it. No, he says, if you can't handle a little bit, you can't handle a lot. These are the words of Jesus. Verse 11, and if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? If you're not faithful with other people's things, then why should you be trusted with your own things? I remember when I was a kid and my parents taught me a lesson about this. I had a jam box. You remember what a jam box is back in the old days? Yeah, packed them on our shoulder, man. It was so cool. Put those big, like, 85D batteries in there. And we were like, yeah, this is so awesome. And I had abused my jam box, and, like, the cassette lid was falling off, and it scratched all up, and, you know, like, all these pieces were missing, and you had to, like, to turn it up, you had to get a screwdriver and turn it up. And my dad taught me a lesson and said, son, if you can't take care of your jam box, why would you take care of a vehicle? I was like, you know what? My first priority is making this jam box really nice. I'm going to take care of this thing. And that's just the message of Jesus here. If you can't take care of little things, then that's a symptom of something deeper inside of you. That's a big deal. And so I need a volunteer. Anybody? Nobody. Nobody wants to volunteer. I just need to pick someone. Irene, come up here. Irene, come up here. So I want to show you an example, a real life example of what Jesus was trying to teach here. So Irene, I need something valuable of you. Do you have money?
No.
I
have my wallet.
Yes. Okay. Come closer. Come closer into the light.
What do you need, a dollar?
I don't want a dollar. What else you got in there? Oh, Irene is loaded. Okay, Irene, let me have this one right here.
I haven't finished doing my shopping.
Look at this. 100. You haven't finished your shopping, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Is this your allowance or something?
Yes, it's my allowance.
This is your Target money. Okay. Do you trust me with your Target money?
Yes.
Okay. So she has put this in my,
You're going to give it back, right?
You want it back? I need this. So I have her $100 bill in my possession. And man, does it feel good, right? To have anybody want it?
Yeah.
Anybody else want it? Who wants to participate in the sermon? Now you want to participate in it. But what I want to do is I want to just show y'all a little example of something. Well, I'm just getting started. What happened?
That's illegal.
It's illegal. How many of y'all would agree that's illegal to burn money? Supposedly, this is U.S. currency. This is owned by the government, but you have possession of it. You've now put it in my possession, so can I do what I want to with what's in my possession?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Yes. Except burn it.
And you want it back so you can go to Target with it. This tension right here of me, I'm going to burn this money. And what she's feeling about that and what you're feeling about that. No, no, you can't do that. Someone in the 8:30 service literally yelled out, that's illegal. Thank you, Bet. You're getting nervous. This tension that you know it's not right to do that because whose money is it?
God's.
Y'all are getting over spiritual on me for a second. Back off a little bit. This is, for this illustration,
it's
Irene's money. Okay, but let's go there. Let's go ahead and go there. Let's present that she's representing God. And I'm representing me. Y'all are right. It's whoever is the owner of it letting me use it for this illustration. And if I were to burn it, that would be a bad way to handle this. When it's this easy and this clear, and you guys know that I would not burn this $100 bill in front of you because why? I want to be a good steward of this money. And I think that y'all would probably be very angry at me if I burned this $100 bill. And I respect, she said I would. I respect Irene being a guinea pig and allowing me to use this. But the tension of me acting like I'm going to burn it is this same tension that exists with all of the money that's in your bank account, your talent, the time on your calendar, all of your possessions, your marriage, your relationship, like all the assets of your life, all the parts of your life that are blessing, we are holding those things and we are being put to the test. Every time we get a paycheck, every time there's a sale of real estate, every time our stock is sold, every time we get a settlement of insurance or a court case or an inheritance, or you get tips from work on a schedule, you know, one of the shifts that you work, anytime there's an increase, anytime there's something of value, we're put to that exact same test of how will I handle this that's been given to me. And Jesus says, if you're untrustworthy with worldly wealth, then who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're unfaithful with other people's things, then why should you be trusted with things of your own? Okay, so you don't have to stand here the whole service. Will you trust me for the rest of this service? And you can go have a seat. Oh, you want to take the lighter? It's pretty good. So I promise I'll be good until the third service. Then we don't have to do it anymore. Then I can maybe burn it. We're put to the test. Jesus says, how are we going to handle this? Look at what he says in verse 13. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate the one and love the other. You'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. But you cannot serve God and be enslaved to mammon. Mammon. That's not an English word, and it's not even a Greek word, the original language of the Bible. This was the Aramaic word that Jesus literally said. So when Jesus was teaching this message, the word that came out of his mouth was literally mammon. And when he said it, they immediately associated it to the Syrian god called mammon. So it's a very difficult word to translate into English into one word. And so that's why in some cases in the Bible, they put the literal word that was spoken. So mammon. And so when Jesus said mammon, the people listening to him would have understood that's a Syrian god of riches, which goes all the way back to Babylon, which goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel is popular because that's where people tried to build a tower that would go all the way up to God and be equal to God. That's what they were trying to do. They were trying to unite in a way to get power and be like God. So the same temptation that happened with Lucifer in heaven, and Lucifer wanted to be equal to God. And so that's why his evil separated him from the holiness of God, and he was cast out, and now he's who we know as Satan, the devil, Lucifer, the fallen angel. That's the same temptation he had. Then he went to Adam and Eve and said, hey, you can be like God if you take this forbidden fruit. This is a same spiritual issue that's happening all the way up until this moment right here in 2022 when we handle things in our life. And Jesus is saying, you can continue to serve God or you can serve man. You can't serve both. And so there may be some of us that are completely entranced in mammon, and that's for those of you taking notes, mammon is the god of self-sufficiency. That's really what Jesus was saying here. You cannot serve me and the god of self-sufficiency. To really break it down very, very simply, you can't serve Jesus and yourself at the same time. You can't serve yourself and serve Jesus at the same time. Jesus said, you're going to love one, hate the other. Now, I know what some of y'all may be thinking. What if I earned this money because I worked? When I earned this money because I worked, that means I earned it and I received it. And so that now is money in my hands and it's my possession because I did something to earn it. You know what Jesus is saying to that idea? You can live by that idea if you want, or you can serve God, but you can't serve both. And here's the fine line that we have to walk as followers of God. He does want us to work. He does want us to be passionate and perform and earn a living and be a good steward over our time and our skills and our talent. And so God wants us to participate in those things, but the problem is when we think we are going to make it because of that self-sufficiency. Instead of working, earning some money, and still, like if Irene was still standing here, it's the same illustration. God has given us the talent, the time, the ability. Even God has given us the stamina to get through college, get a degree, get a certification, whatever it took to do your job. God gave you the ability, the intellect to do the work. And so even if you do the work, it was God who allowed you to do the work. And it was God that blessed you with the resources. And so what Jesus is saying here in Luke 16, 13 is you can't serve both mammon, which is this principle of self-sufficiency, and serve God at the same time. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one doing this, okay? Jesus is the one that's elevating this to worship. He's saying this is not just about stewardship of money and money management or time management or emotional space or relationship management or anything like that. He's saying that this is actually worshiping a God. Now, I'm sure that zero people in here interviewed would say, I am serving the God of mammon. Thanks. Even if we watch, you know, interview people watching online, no one would admit to that. No one would say, that's me. I'm proud of it. I can't wait to go serve mammon again. None of us would say that, but then when we actually dig into our life and look, there's so many of us that are bound by this spirit or this God. And, you know, we're part of Western civilization, which is primarily monotheistic. We believe in one God, Jehovah, King of Kings, Lord and Lord Jesus is the Son of God that came to save us. We believe that. And so as a result, whenever we hear about other spirits or other gods, we're like, that's not real. Those don't exist. But you'll be really surprised if you really dig throughout the Bible to see how many times other gods are referenced, lowercase g gods. In fact, the commandment, thou shalt put no other gods before me. That's the commandment. First commandment, no other gods. If there weren't other gods, they wouldn't put in the commandment, right? So it's something that we wrestle with as humans, even if we don't realize it, if it's clothed in the American dream, American culture, if it's clothed in just being successful and being important, being safe, being secure. And here's really what I want to drive home today is that the spirit of mammon, the God of self-sufficiency, is actually promising you things that only God can deliver. That's right. Only God can bring us security, but we think we're going to be secure if we make more money. Yeah. Only God can make us free, but we think if we had more money, we would be free. And I have to rely on anyone else. If we had more money, we would be happier. If we had more money, we would be more significant. People would listen to us. But in reality, it's only God that can deliver on that promise. It's only God that delivers the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. It's only God that delivers those. So mammon is actually a God of self-sufficiency. And let me go a little further and say that mammon is a God of an antichrist God, an antichrist spirit. Now, when I say the word antichrist, that may set off alarms or bells for some of you that have studied prophecy or end times. You think of a certain particular person, a man that is the antichrist. But there's actually an antichrist spirit that's prevalent all over the world, diminishing the power of Jesus, distracting us from the power of Jesus. And that's an antichrist spirit that's out there. But even if you were to look at the book of Revelation and study where this antichrist is talked about, the antichrist power is not nuclear warfare or something like that. But the antichrist power is the ability to keep people from buying and selling. It attaches, his spirit attaches to the freedom of buying and selling. So I think if we're honest in here, we've all, and I'll be honest, I have come to this conclusion at some point. I've said something like this: I need more money or I need a miracle from God. I need more money or I need a miracle from God. Just think about that dichotomy. Man, if this would come through, if I could get that raise, if this happened, then I wouldn't need you, God. We may not be that clear about it, but that's kind of how we feel, like, oh, Lord, help me with this. And then, but if, man, if this happened over here, then, man, it would be, thanks, God, but I got it. I got it taken care of this time. Don't need you this time. See how that plays out? Let me be even clearer about it. This is what happened to me for many years until I learned this principle, and now I'm delivered. I kind of have fun with it now, but I used to really struggle with this. Put the sign up. Some of y'all have seen this sign if you drive down I-35. This was a time when the Powerball was over $1 billion, and they didn't have enough digits on the sign, so they said to put 999 up there. So if you won the Powerball, you would have over $1 billion. And so this is what would happen when I drive by the sign. I'm sure I'm the only one that's ever thought this, but God, if I won that, oh man, that would be so awesome. Just start to let your brain kind of go down that path. Man, what if I won this? And what would I do with it? And then having thoughts of like, man, if I won that, I wouldn't have to worry about money anymore. Man, if I won that, I wouldn't have to rely on anyone any more. If I won that, I could quit my job. Has anyone thought that? I could do what I really want to do. For the record, I would stay here and not be paid. But those thoughts come in like, man, if this happened, then I would be so much better. I would be so much happier. I could do so many more things. If more money was in my bank account, then I could be at peace. And I don't know about you, but have you seen all the documentaries about people that win the lottery and how much of a wreck their life is? And I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but Lord, I will prove to you that that's not going to be me, right? I'll be the first one. I'm going to manage it well. But look what he says. If you can't manage a little bit, could you manage a billion? That's what Jesus is saying. So it really puts you to the test. Do I trust that God is my provider? Am I trusting in my self-sufficiency, or am I trusting in the God of all sufficiency? Do I really believe that God is the one that's going to protect me and provide for me and never let me down? Or do I rely on my own ability to be able to produce enough, make enough, store up enough, save enough, acquire enough? And so I just I hope you can grab a hold of this today, because man, it becomes so much more freeing to be released from the spirit of mammon, which says it's all up to you, and surrender to the God of all sufficiency, where he says, no, it's all up to me. Now, he wants us to be a good steward. He wants us to live, work hard, and do our best, and not be lazy, and, you know, all those things are biblical principles that he wants us to help work and be a part of the process. But there is that line that we can cross over to where it's like, no, this is mine. And really, the amount of money in your life doesn't change this at all. In fact, one of the most broken and bitter and dark people I know has a lot of money. And they're not a part of this church. They're not even, they don't live in this area, but I'm connected to them pretty close. And so I can tell you that they have a lot of money. They could do pretty much anything they want to with this money. But they live secluded and literally close all the blinds in their house. No light comes in. In the summer, their thermostat's on like 83 degrees. And I can't imagine how they made it through this past summer. But literally, they have attached their heart to money. Money, this is the next and the last little major blank there on your paper. Money is neutral. Money is not evil. So this $100 bill that's right here, it's not evil. It's not a bad thing. In fact, many people say, yeah, but I thought the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. The Bible does not say that. The Bible says the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6 and 10, this is a New Testament powerful verse. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. And look at this, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money. And these people I'm talking to you about that are just like textbook misers. They're just misers. That's all you can say. They would never say that they love money. It's not like they're in their bedroom on the bed. They're like throwing up $100 bills. Like, oh, I love money. Oh, I love money. No. But when you look at their life, they are so tied to it and afraid. They're just afraid that any little bit leaving, they were not going to have enough. And so it's even though they would claim to be followers of Jesus, they are not living out the characteristics of God at all, which is generosity, because they're so entwined in the God of self-sufficiency. What they're saying is we don't really trust that God is able to help us and to lead us and to protect our earthly possessions. Instead, we feel like it's completely up to us. And since we're not working, we're retired now, we're not working anymore, we have to just lock down. That's not the way God wants us to live. So be freed from that. Living the blessed life is the understanding that I can surrender to God, that He can bless me with an amount, and that, thank God, you're allowing me to steward over this money. And even though I worked and someone paid me this because I worked a shift, I still have a submissive heart to you, God. And I'm still believing that this is your money, even though you're allowing me to steward over it. Still yours. So the freedom from the spirit of mammon, the breakthrough from a spirit of mammon that we are serving. This is what Jesus says. We're actually serving it. We're actually enslaved to it. The way to do it is, first of all, just say, Lord, everything I have is yours. My health, my vision, my path in life, Lord, it's yours. My home is yours. My marriage is yours. My occupation, my school plan, my degree plan, my finances, everything I have is yours. Then, when we're blessed with anything, time, resources, talent, we take some of that we now have the control over and put it in the hands of God and say, Lord, I am literally losing control of this amount, and I'm putting it in your hands, and I am making a declaration to myself and to you and to the devil and to everybody else that I will not bow to myself. I will not bow to the God of self-sufficiency. Instead, Lord, I want to bow to your Holy Spirit. So all money, all resources, all anything of value is driven by some viewpoint, some spiritual viewpoint. It's either the spirit of mammon or the Holy Spirit of God. So we want, I mean, our desire is for our possessions, our resources, anything of value to be possessed by God and not ourselves. I want to finish by going back to the very first verse that we read. This is Luke chapter 16, verse 9. He says, here's the lesson. And I want to break this verse down for you, and the worship team can come help me finish this out. But here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. What this is saying, when you break down the original language, is take earthly mammon, earthly riches, any sort of asset that you have, and use it for the kingdom of God. That make friends, benefit others, that means so that they will reap from it. This is the message of Jesus. Here's the message he's given to you. Take that. Then, when your earthly possessions are gone. Now, this is the New Living Translation. It's kind of a weak, honestly, translation. Read it in King James or others, and you'll see a little more rich context here. What this means is not just when your earthly possessions are gone, but when you die. When you're gone from this earthly planet, when your earthly possessions are gone, when you're gone, then they, what's they? Not the riches, but the people you impacted. Then the people you impacted will welcome you into your eternal home. So the people that you influenced, when you get into your eternal reward, are going to say, thank you. They're not going to know that it was you. But when we get there, what Jesus is saying is that we're all going to have the direction of God. God's going to put it in our consciousness. This is the one right there. That's the one right there. Last year, we gave you the opportunity to give, to buy Bibles for persecuted Christians in other countries. And you guys gave enough to give away 1,000 Bibles to persecuted Christians. When you get to heaven, those of you that gave, there's going to be Christians come up to you in heaven. They're going to say, thank you for the Bible. Thank you. That's what this is saying right here. They will welcome you into your eternal home. The people that you impacted are going to welcome you into your eternal home. But what if you didn't do that? What if you took all of your resources and devoured it? Went to Target. Went to Amazon. Went to eat. Let me tell you something that's beautiful. Money's not evil, like I said. Money's neutral. And God doesn't want you to be without. God wants you to have beauty and resources and the ability to function in this culture without being a weird outcast person in poverty. That's not what God's calling us to. He's not calling us to a life of poverty, but he is calling us to be submitted to him. And so there's going to be a reward to the giver in this temporal world that we live in. You don't ever have to worry about that. God's going to take care of you. God is your provider. Would you stand to your feet right now? I want us to go to God in prayer. And just, you know, as I was talking, I know there's some stirring, there's some voices. We want to listen to the voice of Jesus and not the voice of mammon. And so why don't we tune in to him right now? And let's listen to the voice of God saying, I love you. I welcome you. I want to be with you. I think sometimes what we try to do is we try to have one foot planted on the dock and one foot planted in the boat. And we're trying to like hold on to one thing and try to go off somewhere else. Spiritually, you're like, man, I'm going to try this church thing out. I'm try this God thing out. I'm still kind of stuck in the old ways, in the old system. And what Jesus is saying is, you can't do that. You got to pick one. And I'm here to tell you as a real life example that it is a beautiful life to just jump on the boat. Let's go. You can trust Jesus. You can trust the all-sufficient power of a heavenly Father that loves you and wants the best for you and cares for every need, knows every need that you have. You never go to God and like educate him on something that you need. He already knows before you say it. But man, when you go to him and you talk to him about it, he loves to hear your voice and he loves to answer. So let's go to him right now, just a prayer of surrender. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in a prayer of humility. Let's all just say that to him. God, I come to you with a humble heart. I surrender my life to you this day. I want to live with you, God. I believe you're able. I believe you're all sufficient. I believe you love me, Jesus. Please forgive me. Why don't we all just repent right now of anything that's been selfish, self-centered, prideful, arrogant? You know, sometimes when we're living in this lifestyle, when things are going well, we say, wow, look what I've done. Look how good this is, you know. And we're taking the credit and the arrogance and the pride all just begins to rise to the surface. And then when things are going bad, we fall into depression and anger, sadness, all kind of heaviness. So no matter what side of the fence you're on or maybe in the middle somewhere, let's just go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Lord, I've doubted you. I've promoted myself. Please forgive me, Lord. If there's anything in my heart that is promoting me, promoting Robin, call your name out, promoting you, promoting me, man, forgive me, Lord. I pray, please. I surrender that to you. I humble myself before you today in Jesus' name. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd fill me with the beauty of your Holy Spirit, the beauty of your presence, the fullness of your love, the fullness of your joy, the fullness of your peace. Come on, fill us today, God, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.